Okay, everybody, we're going to get started here. I like to play that song sometimes because, you know, no matter what you think about Michael Jackson, he certainly knew a few things. He wrote that song, and the words are, all I really say is that they don't really care about us, and they really don't, the ones that are in power, the globalists, the bankers, the people running this nation into the ground, running the world into the ground. My name is Randy Shannon, and here we are. It's November 7th. I can't believe it. 8 o'clock at night, and we have an incredible lineup tonight. Very excited about tonight's call. We have John Durash and Charlie. I think she will be on there with us. I know that Dave spoke to her earlier. I never was able to connect Dave, but if she does make it on, then she will have the floor as well. There is a lot going on in our country, and a lot of people need remedy. 42 Action was sprouted out of that. Some of you know that I ran for state senate in Iowa, and so many liberty people, patriots of our nation, reached out to me and would tell me things about what's going on in the country and that it's a de facto government, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, I spent some time with some people. And
Lorna.
Guess what? They were right. And, you know, I had sons that were constantly being pulled over by the cops for silly things, and things weren't true. Cops were becoming liars and manufacturing up things like speeding when you're sitting at a red light. And so it's just what's right is now wrong, and what's wrong has become right. And so therefore we have 42action.org. If anybody has any questions, they want to ask anything of tonight's speakers or former speakers, you can send an email. We'll forward it on to them if it's private, support@42action.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. You just have to put the hash after the slash is 42action. Jeff, if you would put yours off the speaker, that'd be great. So we're on Twitter, Facebook. You can listen to me. I do Fox Affiliate Radio on Saturday morning. We air live out of Albuquerque. We have a listenership of about 30,000 people, and then over the week it goes nationwide. And so there's about 100,000 people that are hit with those calls. And we do add a little bit of law on there. We talk about all kinds of things, political and what's going on in the news. But tonight we have an incredible speaker. You know, for months now, people have been sending me messages saying, hey, you need to get this guy on the call. And, you know, the things that he has to say are so important, and they're doing things that mean a lot in this country right now. And that's John Durash. And Charlie, are you on as well? Okay, we don't have Charlie just yet. Dave, you might send her a message or give her a phone call. John, if you would, give everybody a little bit of background.
Send her a message now.
Okay, thank you. John, if you would, give everybody a little bit of background about who you are and what's going on.
This conference is being recorded.
Well, hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Oh, hello, everybody. Yeah, we've been working on quite a few different projects over the past, 6 years, five years or so. And about 4 years ago, we discovered, we were looking into the political processes, and we discovered quite a bit of interesting things about that. But we were also studying the judicial processes because we discovered that in order to get power in the political process, you had to go through the courts. And so you had to learn that process, and we started learning about common law, and we've come to realize that the courts are so corrupt that you're not going to win anything in the courts worthwhile winning. It's all about money, it's all corrupt, and they're under corporate charters and no longer under the constitutional, we'll call that a charter, I guess, but they're no longer under the Constitution. So anyway, we discovered back in around earlier part of this year, maybe around May, we discovered a court case that someone had sent my way. We kind of had it, but we never really looked at it too deeply, and it was the United States versus Williams. And in that particular court case, Justice Scalia, writing for the decision for the majority, it was a 6-3 ruling, really laid out the history and the power of the common law grand jury. And when we realized what he was saying, we started to run with this. So In June, we started to gather people in New York to get involved in this, and before the end of June came, we actually went national because a lot of people were interested in doing the same thing in their states. So I believe it was July 18th here in New York, we elected the first common law grand jury in quite some time. Actually, we elected the process is what we elected, so we constituted a common law grand jury on July 18, 2013. Since then, this thing has skyrocketed, and the roots have dug deep into 48 of our 50 states. Some states are moving very, very quickly. New York has since then established 19 common law grand juries and counting, and various other states, as I mentioned, are heavily rooted into this process. So we're kind of amazed on how fast this is moving. We have literally thousands of people that have come on board and are working this process, and the word is getting out quickly, and we're growing very, very fast. So we have the opportunity now through this process is to really save the republic. The bottom line is only the people can save the republic. Only the people can save the nation. The political process, those people involved with that we would go and vote for and try to get into office, some of them may start with good intentions, but they usually get either corrupted or confused or just become irrelevant, and the power is not there. We'll never save this nation by electing anyone to any office. No matter what we do in the courts, we can't win in the courts because the courts are running and operating under, as I mentioned, a corporate charter. And so the only way that anything's going to be done is if the people step up and do it. Now, the common law grand jury, we discovered, has the authority and the duty to correct all wrongdoing, whether it be in the judicial or the political realm. And so whenever anybody steps out of the constitutional box that they're supposed to be within because they're servants, we have the authority to put them back in that box. And if they refuse, we can remove them by office through presentment or indictment. And that's the power of the common law grand jury. It's really quite overwhelming when you start to realize what can be done. We can bring our courts back to a common law court. We can bring the prosecutor back under control and take away what powers he seems to think that he does have and that they have been wielding. We can stop the judges from making any rulings because that's not their job. They're supposed to be justices and no different than a magistrate who is really just orchestrating the case. And we could bring the sheriff back on board and educate him to make him to realize and understand what his job and what his authority actually is and what his duty is. And we can also bring back our militias and have them open up the armories again. It's just a tremendous amount of things that could be done. And it really does get quite simple. I have made the statement, and I stand by this statement, we could literally turn around any state or the entire republic within 90 days. But I'd like to clarify that because some people have misquoted that. We could save the republic within 90 days or turn the entire state around and bring it back to 1789. But, of course, that would require making sure we have common law grand juries in every county throughout the state. New York, for instance, has 62 counties. Our entire nation has 3,141 counties. So when you bring back through the grassroots movements of juries, common law grand juries, and, of course, trial juries, when you bring that back to the people and they have the authority at the grassroots level, and we bring all of our courts, from the grassroots level, each county has a court, a trial court, that is supposed to be under common law. And we bring that back to that process of a common law, then we've brought our entire country back to 1789, and so we can reset everything. So it's a pretty powerful concept. Our founding fathers did not leave us helpless. So we've got this power, and it's a pretty simple thing to do. The great thing about it is that, you know, that we have so many problems and so many issues throughout our country, our nation, shall I say, that, you know, trying to tackle any of them is just a huge job. But if you could fix the foundation, if you can bring the courts back to justice, then you can fix everything just by doing that. You know, Rothschild, back some couple of 300 years or so ago, or the father of the five sons, he said, give me control of a nation's money, and I don't care who makes the law. In other words, he's going to control everything. One thing he left out is he needs to control the judges. He has to control the courts. And that they're doing, of course, through the minions of the New World Order, which is the Bar Association, a communist organization. And so through that process, they are able to control everything. But you take the court system back, and you could take your money back. You could get rid of the Federal Reserve. There's much you can do, because we can require these people to be obedient to the Constitution and to respect our Bill of Rights. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That is fascinating. Do you have a website? Do you want to give that out?
Yeah, our website is nationallibertyalliance.org. Let me repeat that, nationallibertyalliance.org. And if you go out to our website, on our front page, there is a video clip. It's called Power of the Grand Jury. It's about 40 minutes long, and pretty much most people who watch that video at that point just jump right in, because they see the power very quickly. On our top right side of our page, there is a link where you can join our meetup, and through that we send out emails and reminders and give notifications of different things we're doing around the country. And on the left side, on the top, there's another link where you can sign up on our registry and become a organizer. For your county and for your state.
Do you have every state represented right now?
We have 48 states on board, deeply rooted now, I mind you. A few states are just still starting off, but pretty much we're very, very, very deeply rooted throughout the country. We have thousands of people involved. So the only two states we lack at this point is North Dakota and Vermont. So if anybody's out there from North Dakota and Vermont, get out there and take a look and jump in and take control of your state. It starts one person in one county, and then it becomes two people in two counties and so on, and you work together to take your state back. Only the people can do this. And what it boils down is every decision really boils down to 25 people in a room trying to figure out how to settle the problem. Again, whether it be a conflict between two individuals, or whether it be a conflict between the government and the people, or something in the judicial process or in the judicial system. If there's a judge that's out of line, he could be corrected immediately. You can pull him onto the carpet, read out the riot act to him. And again, we're not out on a witch hunt or anything. We're there just to save the republic. And so we're not chasing down people and all their past sins. All we're concerned about is what are they going to do now from this point forward. And so we want to befriend as many people as we can, befriend the judges and even the prosecutors, and of course the sheriffs. But if they're really that evil, justice will catch up with them, because one day someone will come knocking on the door of the grand jury and say, hey, let me tell you what this guy done to me or to my family, how he destroyed my life or whatever the case may be. Well, now you have a wrongdoing, you have an injured party, and now we have to restore that individual, and so we have to now deal with this problem. Juries and grand juries, a grand jury really is an arbitrator, first and foremost, and they should always try to settle the problem before sending it into the courts at any level, if it's possible. And the focus of justice and the job of the jury or the grand jury is to restore the injured party. In our system here in America, we've lost sight of that. And we have a punishment system. We have a system where the judges, by sending people to jail, actually make money, where judges make those decisions. In old English law, judges didn't have that power or that authority. They represented the sovereign of the court or the tribunal. And the judgments that they might make that we hear about today, they're called minute orders or minute orders. And really, all they are is notes in a court case by the justice. But people, they have turned that around as time has went on, and the clerk would then file that as the judgment of the court. People were accepting that. And now that's why you have servants judging the owners of this country. But it always has to be a tribunal. And a tribunal is either the jury, the trial jury. It could be, of course, the grand jury, because it could be taken care of before even going into the courts. Or it could be the sovereign of the court. That would be the plaintiff. If someone brought a case against somebody as a plaintiff, and if the defendant on the other side is brain dead and doesn't understand common law and to ask for a jury, well, by the end of the case, it's the plaintiff that gets to make the decision because they're the tribunal of the court. So it's quite different than a system we have. Obviously, it's a much more righteous system, and it's focused in on justice.
Okay, I want to open it up. Does anybody have any questions for John?
Yeah, Randy, can I ask a question, Brad?
Yes, please.
I have a couple questions. I've been studying a little bit on the common law. In fact, I have a book, a PDF on quite extensive book on common law process that I'm kind of going through right now. So I understand what you're saying when the plaintiff can kind of and the plaintiff can be the tribunal when they bring it under a common law venue. And I've been listening to Bill Thornton's stuff a lot over there at 1215.org, and I like his stuff. But my question is, where does this get the teeth? In other words, who's going to enforce this, and does it apply only to criminal, or is it for civil as well?
Well, common law applies on both realms. Of course, you know, when someone files a civil case and they're going in and they're going in under common law, of course, under the design of the contract that they might have had with another individual. It's got to be guided by that, of course. Then they have the right to have that common law process. And if they don't get it, they feel that they're being cheated by that or the judge is going a different direction, all they have to do is look up in the directory, which we're going to create, find the grand jury in their county, make a phone call, and file a complaint, and that grand jury will take care of that very quickly. Because there'll be a grand jury, of course, or administrators of a grand jury in each county. But as far as the authority, there is a process that's been going on in this country for over 200 years, and it's the same thing in every court, whether it's federal or whether it's state. All of the courts and even the administrative courts run the same way in the same process. So there's a judicial process, with the grand jury, a grand jury has a process just like any other part of the court system. And the process is as simple as the grand jury, if they want to file a presentment, which is the same thing as an indictment, but it comes forth from themselves. In other words, they've made the effort to go out and take a look at something and find a problem that couldn't be corrected. So then they write up an indictment. Usually an investigation is done by four jurists. And when they can't solve the problem with a prescription or the people are unwilling to obey the solution, then those four people bring it before the other 21 for a total of 25 people as a presentment before the jury. And if they decide to indict, then a true bill is written up. That's called a true bill of indictment, but it's titled as a presentment, and they present it to the court clerk. And the court clerk now has a duty under law. There's U.S. codes that require that anything is filed has to go through its judicial process. And that's a judicial process filing, so they have to file it. Anybody who would destroy that record, hide that record, bury that record, remove that record, faces up to 3 years in jail. If a judge intimidates or forces an individual or tries to make them to destroy that, they face up to 20 years in jail. If either or were to return those files back to the individual through the mail, that becomes mail fraud, and it's another 20 years. So there's a lot of pressure upon the people that are taking these presentments, if one is set in, to not return it. And we do it with a cover sheet, which is an order to file, and it's a file on it's called a file on demand, and in that one page, and we let them know what the codes say and what their duty is and what they have to do. Right now, we indicted four of Supreme Court judges here in New York State. Two of the highest judges of our state is under a presentment right now. And we filed that up in Greene County about 14 or 15 days ago. And we waited 12 days. On the 12th day, we didn't hear anything. They'd been completely silent. So we filed a quo vanto on Greene County against the two judges there and the clerk where we filed it. laying out the process and the procedure and what they need to do, and if they don't do it within 10 days, they too might fall under indictment. So we're moving through that process of pressure, and again, it's going to take people power, people pressure, the court of public opinion for the people to stand up and make it happen. They have a serious problem because this has never been broken in over 200 years. This is the process.
Hello?
What do you do if they try to throw out and say, you know, the common law is not invoked? I know here in Florida, haven't they said we do not recognize the common law? So,
right.
You know, we know that it's never gone away, but you know, is what you're saying there, is that the teeth to get them to recognize the common law?
Well, there's a procedure, there's a process. The real law, we know, is common law, and they don't have the authority to just do away with common law. Common law in itself is synonymous with natural law. They're one and the same. And natural law, of course, comes from God, and we claim our rights as unalienable rights. They're protected maybe under the Bill of Rights. And our government is supposed to protect our rights by that Bill of Rights. But our rights are unalienable. And our Founding Fathers were clear. If we go into read our Founding Fathers, or we even look at the Supremacy Clause in the Constitution, there is no other law available in our nation other than common law itself. It's under law. Of course, there are administrative laws, administrative systems that are set up, but you have to volunteer into that. They've taken that, of course, and expanded it, created corporate rules and regulations, which we understand and see as statutes. So they're under a corporate charter, and they commit a fraud upon the people by having you arraigned, and in that arraignment is where people give them the consent. If you refuse or reject that consent, it becomes an uphill battle. It takes a while. They keep bringing you back and forth. Then they want to do a mental evaluation. They go through all that processes. But you can win under that process if you stick to your guns. We have formulated a position that once we file the papers, they only get one shot at it. And they don't respond correctly in these town courts, then you take it and you file a court of record in the Supreme Court. And then you do the applications and the pressures from there. They don't have the jurisdiction. They don't have the authority. They don't have subject matter jurisdiction. They don't have personam jurisdiction. And you can lay that out quite clearly through court cases, through the law. Even the statutes themselves, to some degree, support that. In New York State, in our Constitution, it says that all Supreme Courts and county courts are courts of record. Now, a court of record, by definition, is a common law court. These courts are running, they're claiming under court of equity, which brings them under statutory courts. So these courts are really operating ultimately under maritime law. And when you understand that, one of the key ways to deal with these people, it takes a while for the people on the state level, these judges, because they're so corrupt and they're fearless almost. They've never get really, their feet are never really held to the fire. On the federal courts, you got a little more of a better chance once you reveal that you know how the game is being played. You have to do it subtly, and you always have to give them a way out. But once they understand that their flesh is on the line and you're coming out after them should they continue doing the wrong thing, once they get that message, usually your case should turn around. And that's true on the state level, too. But these guys are so lost in their criminalities and the monies that they're making, they kind of miss it. And it takes a while before they realize it. And when they realize it, then, it's gone a little too deep often. But you can win. It's an uphill battle, though.
Hello?
Yes.
Do you
we're open for questions, so go ahead and fire away one at a time.
This is Keith.
How you doing, Keith?
All right. I keep hearing the word process,
right.
But I haven't heard yet how or who is going to enforce the process, all right? We do all these presentments, and they default on these presentments, but who are we going to get to go out there and arrest them and put them in jail?
Well, first of all, we haven't been doing presentments. I'm not aware of many presentments going on. I know there's some stuff going on in Michigan, but they're operating outside of the courts. I would suggest to them to get a seat in the courts, and that's where the battle should be. There is a citizens grand jury, different from a common law grand jury, but a citizens grand jury down in Florida. They've had some pretty good successes, and he's operating under the auspices of the Supreme Court, you know, in his state, and that seems to be working. I'm aware of one other common law court, and I wouldn't call it common, I'll call it citizen or people's court, citizens court, one in California, and they've been getting some pretty good successes also, but they've kind of conformed to the status quo, so they're not doing too well. The one in Florida is conformed to the status quo. The ones in Michigan, they have not. There's 14 of them in Michigan, and they're kind of united. They're unified out there, and they're looking to develop every county, and we're working with them to develop every county. But we teach we have to get a seat in the courthouse. Now, bear in mind, we only started our first election, or shall I say, our first reinstatement of the common law grand jury, or the constitution of the first common law grand jury that we started was on July 18th, 2013. Now, we filed 19 of them throughout the state. We did not file our first, get any power, nor did we file with the counties until we had 17 counties back with the constituted grand juries, because we knew we'd need the power and of people. We also decided to work with the counties south of Albany, so we've got all of the southern counties south of Albany here in New York, which includes the five boroughs of New York. The only borough that we have not elected yet is Richmond County. But other than that, we've elected the other four boroughs or counties in New York City, and we elected the two counties on Long Island, and the lower counties just above New York City, which is Westchester, Rockland, and Putnam, and then all the counties north all the way up to Albany, and now we're working above that. But those are the counties, that was the block, because that represented better than two-thirds of the population of New York. Matter of fact, I think it represents three-quarters. And so we knew that that would be the powerhouse place to really get in, so that's what we did. We didn't file our first presentment until, like I said, about 14 days ago, so we're right in the middle of the war. And the presentment is against these judges for refusing us access into their systems. When we started filing these papers, they didn't know what to do with it. And quite early on, this one judge who was the chief judge, just under, one judge under the chief justice of the entire judicial system of New York, they wrote a memo to all clerks telling them to reject or send back our papers. But our papers were filed also with the file on demand. To date, only one county has sent our papers back, and that's Schenectady County, and that's above Albany. All the other counties haven't done anything. And we realized when we started to do a tour of the state to get access and to take power and to test to see what was going on, we realized that these people were frightened. For the first time, we walked into government offices. We commanded the whole conversation. We asked questions. They answered every single question. They denied nothing. They refused us nothing. You could see they were nervous. They had their counselors with them. They didn't know what to make of us. They didn't understand what we were doing, and they were frightened. And as we went through the process going from county to county, and we had some news people with us who wrote some stories on this, who put some stories together, and we've done some television interviews on this also. But in any event, we came to realize that the clerks, these chief clerks, first of all, they're hired help. They're not elected, they're not appointed, they're hired. We also realized that they're going to be obedient to the judge. But one thing that they have done, pretty much all of them, is that they have not sent our papers back. They have not rejected them by formally sending them back to us. They're frightened to do that. And that's a good thing, so that gives us leverage. These four judges that we indicted that sent these memos out and tried to stop us, they threatened us with all kinds of things should we go forward. We gave them quite a few chances. But then we decided, okay, we're going to have to do a true bill and indict them. So we did, and we filed that, as I said, in Greene County. So we're in a clash right now. It's been 14 days. They haven't done anything. On the 12th day, we filed a quo warranto, as I said. And the next step, we don't want to say what that is, but there's different processes. What you have to understand is...
John, John, mm-hmm. you got to yeah. mention that we did not file against the clerk.
Oh, by the way, Gerard's on the line with me. Go ahead.
We did not file against the clerks. We let them go because we knew that they were frightened. You didn't make that clear.
Oh, yes. That's why, yeah, when we made the rounds, that's exactly what happened. We discovered that we shouldn't be going after the clerks. We should only be going after the judges. So we decided to pull the clerks off of the bill, and we just did the four judges. But the next clerk, the next one we're going to do, and I can't speak for the grand jury at this moment. I'm only one member of that unit. But when I bring the story to everybody, I'm going to suggest strongly that we indict both the clerk and the two judges of Greene County, should they not, within 10 days of filing that paper, if they do not respond, answering every question on that and allowing us access into the courts. So that will be the next process. After that, we're starting to get some momentum in some of reportings. We're starting to hear about it here and there. We haven't hit the mainstream yet. We're hoping for the mainstream soon, the mainstream news. What we need is 1,000 people to show up on a particular court that we talk about to get access. When we don't want to reveal which one that would be. But if we can get 1,000 people, or at least many hundreds of people, and that possibility is possible, we've already had someone in the state of Washington. They said, I'll be there. I'm going to get on a flight. I'm going to come for that date. So we're asking people from different states, definitely all over New York, to come at that point to gain access. And we're looking, of course, to have news media there. And then we're going to have a clash with these judges that's going to defy the people from having the authority that is theirs. You see, when we go back into history, we look at the Magna Carta, for instance. It took the people to step up and put the king under control. The next time that happened on any scale, particularly talking about holding up common law, was the Declaration of Independence. It took 56 men to stand up, write, sign the paper, and the people to step up behind them and require that. In this case, they took the king down and they created a new nation, and of course the United States. Well, now this is our time. We have to stand up, and we have to require that these people obey the law of the land, which is the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, the principles of liberty. And if they don't, then we need to remove them from office. As a matter of fact, the Declaration of Independence says that we have government by the consent of the people. And this is exactly how our founding fathers set it up. The consent is through the jury process, because the jury process just doesn't act inside the court. It acts right there out of the courthouse, dealing with every political and judicial problem when they overstep their authority. That's the power of the people. And when you have a government that fears the people, and believe me, they fear us coming in, and when you have a government that fears the people, then you have liberty. And that's the process we have to get involved with. So people have got to step up and do what has to be done. If they don't participate and they don't stand up, then I guess people just don't want liberty. They like this New World Order idea, and that's what they'll get.
So if somebody wants to sign up as a juror or be a part of this, what are the particular links that they fill out on your website?
Yeah, if they're interested, Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So you can't have freedom and ignorance together. We have to re-educate ourselves. And that's precisely what our website does. Our website just puts out all the education you need. We wrote a book on court access, the procedures, the process. We did an anatomy of a court case. It lays out all of the paperwork and everything you need to know how to get into a court case, all the process and the procedures. And then, of course, we laid out a lot of the stuff with the common law. We have all of Thornton's work up there, so we teach people about the court of record and how that process works. We just have tremendous amounts of information. But the first thing people do is they come in and they would click on, once they want to join up with us in this movement, they would click on the registry and register. They can register as someone who is going to work with the organizers, or They don't have to be, and then the name and number of the organizer and their county, their state and county, appears on our county page. And but if they don't check that box, then it doesn't appear anywhere. Nobody knows. And so we have a lot of people behind the scenes, and we have a lot of people who check that box and become organizers and put their phone numbers out there. We then, once you sign up, you're taken to a page, and it's called Jurist Orientation. You can get to it on the link on the left side also. But Jurist Orientation, which is about a four-hour video course, and it walks you through really a state of mind and what liberty is and what freedom is and what responsibility is. When you come to the end of that page, there's a link that you can click on how to create a common law grand jury in your county. And when you come to that page, there's a 35-minute video which shows the process of what we call the election process, which is really the reinstatement process of the common law grand jury. And it's just the honorable thing to do, to put a notice in the newspaper, to call as many people as you can, and to have people join together. We do a 30-minute presentation through video. And then everybody votes, and it's been pretty much unanimous most of the time throughout the whole nation. And then all the papers are signed, and the declaration is signed of the constitution of a grand jury in your county. Now we're really we're doing is we're collecting people for a registry that we can call upon. And of course, when we run out of, those are the first people we would call. But then we would also go out and call just about anybody. We'd probably use the voters' registration and call people who are active in voting. And we would then draw juries from there. The key thing to this whole thing is we get to orientate the people, not the state. We don't do a psychological review on the individual to see that we get the person we want, like the government does, because they want obedient slaves. We want people, and we want to free people. So we have an orientation plan. It's 4 hours. It's going to be something special that there'd be four administrators that would be processing these people and going through them to show them or talk to them about the principles. And a jurist, we have four principles and two rules that we swear to by an oath that we must follow. Shall I say three principles? And two rules. The three principles is to develop a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And that's the mindset every jurist has to have whenever they sit in judgment of another human being to consider what can be done. There are two rules that we run by. They're common law rules. They're maxims. The first one is, in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party, and the state cannot be that injured party. So if there is no injured party, there is no crime. The second rule is, for every injury, there must be a remedy. We're interested in reinstating the individual who has been damaged. They have to be restored, and they have to be restored by the person who injured them. And so that is the interest of justice. And if we can do that through arbitration without even bringing them into a trial court, then that's a good way to do it. And you make a contract, and if they break the contract, then they're going to be indicted, and they're going to have to go before the trial jury, and they're going to be a lot more harsher than we would be. But we've got the opportunity to negotiate this situation between the defendant and the individual who is the victim, the injured party. Now, what we're looking for is four people that are dedicated and want to really, work this thing in their county. We're teaching people that we need four administrators for every county. There's a lot of work, a lot of administration work to be done. And we'll set a budget up with the state. Right now, the grand jury has huge budgets in every county. And either the court or the prosecutor is running it. The prosecutors run the grand juries, and the courts run the process on the juries. Well, we're going to take that away from them, bring it back to the people, and four administrators will be paid people in order to go through and teach, call together the juries, and also teach them the right mindset that they need to sit as a jurist. Jurists get to decide. Not only do they get to decide the facts of the case and the law of the case, they also get to decide the penalty of the case. And again, their focus is not on putting people in jail. Our founding fathers was not about putting people in jail. The common law is about restoring the individual and making sure that this individual that injured this person restores that person in some fashion. And that's what has to be done. Now, of course, there's violent crimes. That, of course, would probably call for jail sentences and maybe the death penalty or whatever the people decide, because it boils down to those 12 people in that room looking at that particular problem and dealing with it. And when it's the grand jury, it boils down to those 25 people in that room deciding on how they're going to correct this government or how they're going to correct this this situation between people or the court system or whatever it is, the judge or whatever. And that's where it is. It's all grassroots, and it's people doing the people thing.
Well, there's a gentleman that I've been helping. He was out in the federal land, federal grounds, and he got some 10-plus elk antlers. Hey, Chris, 2469, I know who you are. You got just a little bit of background noise. I muted you, but I unmuted you. I hate to keep you muted. So it'd be safe to say that this person who served was sentenced to 74, 75 days in a federal penitentiary wouldn't have served one day when he picked up elk antlers that were over 10 years old?
Well, yeah, look, at you know, common law is common sense. It's the people that get to decide. And I bet you 80% of the cases that the state would bring to a common law grand jury, they wouldn't indict, they would ignore it. As a matter of fact, at a certain point, they'd be starting to chastise them. I would make it clear to the prosecutor once we, pull him onto the carpet. We have a process that we have a plan of a process on what we will do once we get a seat in the courthouse. And that's the key thing, is getting a seat in that courthouse. But when the prosecutor comes onto your carpet and you let them know that they can't use a puppet grand jury anymore, nor can they use a puppet jury anymore, should they call for one, that would be a wrongdoing, and we would have the duty now to write a bill of indictment against you, because we can't permit that. So as long as you don't do that, we're good. And so once you lay that out to them, now if an individual, this prosecutor comes with a gun charge on somebody, and the gun charge is because someone is carrying a weapon without a license, well, you can't license the Second Amendment. You can't require a permit or a fee in order to exercise your Second Amendment right, which is, of course, an unalienable right. That being the case, then the prosecutor would have to be let know that, you know, you're involved in a conspiracy now between you and the officer and maybe this judge that maybe tried to do an arraignment on this person. We're going to be looking to indict you guys because this guy's the victim. He's been really kidnapped. We have to make that point clear, and we're going to have to give him a few breaks in the beginning, because if we don't, we'll be putting everyone in jail or indicting everybody, shall I say. But really, they need to learn to obey the law now. And we did write a book. It's available on our front page. It's called The Common Law Handbooks for Jurors, Sheriffs, Bailiffs, and Justices. You'll find it on a few places on our site. It's available for download, and these are the books that we're going to hand out to all of those individuals so that they know the law and understand what the law is, and they understand what U.S. codes will be used against them should they violate those laws under the color of law. So this book also, we'll be printing this out soon, I hope, as a pocket constitution booklet, same kind of thing. It'll be a pocket common law handbook that you'd be able to put in your top pocket. And I'm trying to work out some deals now. But those will be available hopefully soon for a very low price, as low as we can get it. But until then, you can download the book and you can read it, and you can see the power of what we put together and what is now going to be required. When we come into power, the key to getting to power, as I mentioned a little earlier, is to get a seat in the courthouse. If you win that battle, you won the war. And the first order of business, once we get a seat in that courtroom, is to call on the judge and have him come over to pay a visit to us. You know, hey, judge, you're on the third floor, we're on the second floor, we'd like to talk to you. You think you can come down Tuesday at 1, or is Wednesday at 9:30 better for you? Whatever it is. But anyway, he knows. He's going to be probably boning up on common law, trying to figure out how he's going to deal with you. But when you get him there, it's a very simple conversation. And really, you let him know, look, this court has not been operating as advertised. The Constitution requires a common law. At least New York Constitution also requires a common law court. And you guys have been operating as a statutory court. And we now have to bring you back under the Constitution, bring you back into the box. And so from this point forward, your court is going to become a common law court, and we're going to keep an eye on you. And as long as we're good with that, we're good. Now, they have three choices. They can comply, they can resign, or they can go to jail. It's up to them. So we'll take it before the full jury and for an indictment, and if the full jury agrees and indicts, then he'll go to jail. And so he can choose any one of those three. It's up to him. I think the first indictment in New York, which we have set in place against four judges, once that settles in and people realize there's going to be a lot of early retirements, a lot of people deciding to quit, but people are going to come to order because mommy and daddy is home. It's that simple. The party is over. And so we, the people, have got to step up and take up the responsibilities of ruling ourselves through this process called the grand and also trial jury. And that's what it's all about. Now, the second order of business, is, as I mentioned, is with the prosecutor. And again, you know, same thing with him. He's either obeys or resigns or goes to jail. It's his decision. But the third individual that we would make contact with would be the sheriff. Now, the sheriff, you know, when you call him up and he comes down to the courthouse and he walks through the courthouse doors and he looks for the grand jury room and he finds the grand jury room and he walks into the grand jury room and you're there, obviously whatever you tell him, he's all ears at that point because he understands who you are now. Now you have authority. And you let him know with no uncertain terms. You give him a copy of the book, okay, and you ask him, well, how many deputies you got? Oh, I got 32 or 10, 20, whatever it is. Okay, well, you give him 50 books. I give one to each sheriff, each deputy. I think you guys should have some evening meetings on this and discuss this. And you know what? Anytime, give us a call. We'll meet you at the coffee shop right next door to the jailhouse if you want. And we'll sit down and we'll talk to you for hours if you want. And we'll interpret all this stuff. We'll explain how this works. So, you know, when you run into a situation and you're not sure how you go, you got to go, you know, and you want to call that county attorney up, you could do that if you want. But we strongly suggest you might want to call us up, too, because we might have quite a bit different to say than that person. And we wouldn't want to see you get in trouble, because if you follow the wrong line here, you yourself may end up under indictment. So we want you to understand you cannot be violating people's rights. There cannot be all of this abuse of people that's been going on, both through not only the sheriff's office, but all the other police forces, which have no authority to operate, by the way. They're corporate police forces. We also need to let the sheriff know that we the people are not going to tolerate martial law in this state. And so, therefore, it's your job, it's up to you, to prepare for such an emergency, because looking at today's situation, this is something that's very possible. And so, therefore, you have to let the ABC agencies know that they can't come into this state and think they're going to run, their martial law. If you need deputies, just give a call to the common law grand jury, because we have one heck of a network, and we'll get all the people you need to meet up with you wherever it has to be done. And also, until further notice, maybe you should probably run the militia here, at least in New York State, until we get past these very difficult times, and then the people need to take that back. I know there are some states, like in the Carolinas, they still have the militia, and they get together, so they're set. New York, we're not set. We need our militia back. They've closed down all of our armories throughout New York State. We need them to be reopened, and we need them to be restocked. And we, the people, need to do the job of stepping up, being mature, and taking control of our lives and our futures. And this is how you do it. You become a jurist. You get involved. You support the grand jury. You support the process. You step up in numbers. So anybody who wants to save the republic, I can assure you this is the only way possible. other than bloodshed, and nobody wants to go that route. And just to make one other point, some people ask me not to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it anyway because people have got to know, and I'm not trying to frighten anybody. But on our soil right now, as of October 2nd, on the last report that I've seen, is 386,000 foreign troops on American soil as of October 2nd, and as of October 3rd, they've been deployed around our country. They're on your soil in your state, particularly on the outer rings, okay, the West Coast and the East Coast. So if you're comfortable with that and you don't think that's anything to be alarmed about and it's all okay with you, then fine. But if it's not, it's time to step up and do something. You know, we need to send these troops home. They need to be removed, at least from New York soil, as far as I'm concerned, and whatever state you're from, I certainly hope you feel the same thing is necessary. We do know that over 100,000 of these troops are Russians. We do know that over 100,000 of these troops are Chinese. Now, I've got other sources that told me from sort of behind the scenes that my number's way off. It's over 600,000. Our founding fathers didn't want an American army on our soil. What the hell is wrong with us that we are allowing foreign troops on our soil? Now, it is true you're not being told through the media. Ron Paul's been ringing this bell, I know, since at least 2007, at least. He's been yelling out and telling the people, we have foreign troops on our soil and they don't belong here and we have to do something. But of course they silenced that guy down a long time ago and people don't hear too much of what he's had to say when he was running for president in the last two elections. But in any event, only the people can save America and the question becomes, will you?
Wow. Does anybody have any questions for John? I'm going to unmute the couple lines that I have muted. 870, you have a lot of background noise. Did you have any questions? If not, I'll go ahead and mute you.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Anyone else? Right. Dave, Brad, yes.
Yeah, hey, this is Brad. I can ask a question. What sort of traction have you got thus far? In other words, are there any kind of beacon cases out there, some lighthouse cases that you've got success on?
Well, no, as far as the grand jury is concerned, no. We just started this. Like I said, just think about what we're saying here. We elected the very first common law grand jury in the nation, the very first one, at least that calls himself common law grand jury, not people's grand jury, not citizens' grand jury, or not just grand jury. Common law grand jury. We purposely put those words there because that's what it is. We're coming back to common law. We want to be clear. The first one was elected on July 18th this year. We just started the month before. You know, we learned in May. We started in June. And today we have thousands of people across the nation involved with us. We have 48 states on board, and the roots are running deep in those states. People are electing grand juries every day. There's something going on someplace in this nation. And we have 19 elected grand juries in New York. So I think that's an amazing feat. And we did our first, the very first common law bill, which is a bill of indictment, only about 14 days ago. So we're at the beginning of this whole thing. We just set the first shot off, and it hasn't been heard yet because the mainstream media has not run with this yet. This is going through the Internet pretty quickly, and the mainstream media sooner or later won't have no choice but to open up on this. We've sent some information to Glenn Beck. We sent some information to Alex Jones and various other individuals that are pretty powerful through that kind of a media. We haven't heard anything back from them yet, but we have been getting a lot of radio, some news, usually a lot of blogs that are responding. We do have six producers, TV producers down in New York City that responded to us, and we've done, I don't know, quite a few interviews with them. I think we've done seven or eight. down in New York City, and only a couple of them have been aired already. We've got those some of those interviews up on our website. You can see them by going out to nationallibertyalliance.org, and on the top left side you'll see a turning world there that says breaking news. If you click on that, we have all the news releases, all the press releases. We have the whatever TV programming we've had. We have some radio programming up there. And just the news releases themselves. So as soon as this thing hits the national level, okay, that's when we're really going to get the traction. But until then, we're not. And anybody interested in working with us, the first thing you might want to do is look at these press releases and then try to get the word out to all these people I'm talking about and others. Again, only the people can save America. And nobody else, and it's either going to be by spilling their blood or we're going to do it peacefully, and I'd like to see it done peacefully, and this is it. There is nothing else out there. If you think you're going to get a politician or a group of politicians to change the ways, I have bridges to sell you down in Brooklyn. And I want to tell you something. You know, New York alone, just think of New York. You got one governor, you got two U.S. senators, you got 27 congressmen, you got 150 assemblymen, and you got 63, and I don't know where they come up with 63, but they got 63 New York senators. And you have to get the majority of that just to get New York to start, and then there's nothing but arguments, of course. So you're not going to bring New York back. At the same time, you got to get at least half the states of the union to do the same thing so that they can get some strength and power in Washington. It's not going to happen. You know, a lot of people thought that you get Ron Paul, he'd save the nation. No, it'd be a beginning, but no way. One man can't do it. It can't happen. Okay? Only the people. Grassroots, right where you're at, take the power at home in your county and connect with the county next door and the state next door and the state across the nation, and then you'll save America. Any other way, you will not do it. I promise you, other than bloodshed, and then we're going to have to connect that way too. We're going to have to go county to county, state to state, all the way across the nation, and hope that we can succeed against these people.
Well, I got to say, I'm very excited about what you're saying. This sounds fantastic, and like I mentioned earlier, I've been reading up, and the common law has been a new area of study for me, and I have all Bill Thornton stuff, or at least on his site anyways. But what you're saying is really kind of putting feet to that, and to me, I'm very excited. So I commend you, and I'm very much going to be get activated and animated with this.
It's up to you to do it. Go ahead, Gerard.
Can I say something? Maybe what people don't realize is this didn't happen like in a vacuum. We've been in the courts in New York State for about 4 years now, and we discovered Thornton stuff, and we tried to do the court of record, and we've had successes because we've challenged them and we've stayed out of their jurisdiction, and they don't know what to do with our paperwork. Our successes have been that they've gotten overwhelmed and they rolled over and sort of gave us out of the court. You know what I mean? Because they don't practice law. They practice backroom deals. That's how they operate. They don't like to write papers. They're lazy. They want to meet in the back, and they look at everything's, you know, the two sides and the judge look at the case, and they size up the money, and that's how you get what you get. You know, how many pieces of pie can we split amongst ourselves? Well, see, we discovered that system is dysfunctional. We went in there trying to fix the dysfunctional you know, committee man system and the Democratic and the Republican parties, which have been completely turned on their heads. And we went to the courts and we found out that they're not operating anything like what they're supposed to. They don't even know what an extraordinary writ is. Well, they've changed them so that you can't even get a writ of mandamus. It ends up being an Article 78, and something that should take 7 days or 3 days ends up and running 9-10 months, and they don't even do what they're supposed to do. You go to the higher court to tell them to make the lower court obey, and you're only supposed to go up there with one point of law that you're complaining about. They ended up looking at the whole case and treating it like an appeal and all this. And, you know, I don't even think – a lot of them don't even know. But nevertheless, it's dysfunctional, and we operated in those dysfunctional courts for 4 years. And like John says, you can have a knife in your chest, and the judge will go, you got no cause of action. So – they drove us to this common law grand jury system because, you know, New York State, the federal government asked Governor Cuomo to close down all the judicial oversights because they found out that they were more corrupt than the judiciary. They're stealing money out of probate and, you know, $1.5 million here and there. So they closed them down. So now you don't even have anybody watching the judges. You know, you don't have a process, and they're all good old boys. And so we know the system. We know how they operate. We also know how to stay in the common law court. We've had some better successes on the federal level because things on the federal level, you know, when you get up to the top where Scalia is in that, they have to have a consistency. Listen, you and I can't go to a court and sue each other and come up with federal cases that hold up both our sides, because if we do, then it's hello, Houston, we have a problem. Those cases on the top have to have a certain consistency under the Constitution, and so their feet are held to the fire more. But, you know, there's a firewall to get up there. You can't get up there because right from the clerks to the judges, you can't get in that system because it's so dysfunctional. So we have court experience, and we've been doing this, and we understand the common law, and we've learned from the School of Hard Knocks how they operate. And then we discovered that, guess what? We have a system. It's called the grand jury, and not the grand jury that the government picks. You know, we have a sheriff that claims to be an oath keeper and understand common law with a common law lawyer, and he claims to have read Lysander Spooner, and he says the common man can't run these things, and he thinks that the Magna Carta, the guys that did that, they weren't common then, they were barons. Well, in this country, let me tell you what, we became the barons, we became the sovereigns, the kings, and that's what he doesn't understand. You see, this is a stake in the heart. It's a stake in the heart to those people that are running things, and that's the judiciary, that's the Bar Association, the judiciary, the Bar Association, and the police force, because we have a police state, and they all operate together, and they're all making money off of this. Listen, they float $1 billion a day in the Siskiyou Trust. That's what this is. This is a prison industrial system that we're living in. We're gradually replacing the military industrial complex with the police state complex that we're living under right now, and that's a fact. And the only way we're gonna stop it is if everybody stands up. We can't ask them anymore. We've done that. We've done that for 4 years. We've begged them. We've petitioned them. We've showed them the law. Listen, they don't even read the paperwork because they ask stupid questions when you get there, and you know they didn't read anything because they're lazy and they're dumbed down. So that's we do have experience, and we were driven to this by them. They created this monster, so to speak. It's not a monster. It's actually an angel that's been hidden from the people. And that particular sheriff thinks that there never was a common law grand jury that did this any time in the country. That's how his revisionist history goes. I got news for you. Look up tar and feathering of judges and what happened around the 1700s when we were taking this country back. And it took them... They discouraged the people from tar and feathering, but eventually they tarred and feathered their houses as a symbolism. But that's what the people were doing. You know, they were coming out and they were using common law grand juries and pulling these guys in. So I don't know what he's talking about, that it's never been in this country. It was here for 200 years before the Battle of Independence, because that's what they had here. They had common law.
I've got a question.
Yes, please go.
How do we follow your processes that's going on in New York with these presentments that you made on these four judges, and how do we get a handle on how that what's going to be laid out on that and what the end result is? And then is there a process of bringing out-of-state presentment to New York on a common law grand jury for committed fraud by various state officials and from the judicial and executive branch, who have all been notified of the fraud they've committed? All the law agencies have been notified. From the attorney general to the DAs who admit the fraud, to the secretary of state who admits the fraud, to the FBI who accepts the fraud and does nothing about it. So how do we?
Yeah, well, look. Let me try to respond to that. First of all, and I'm not sidestepping the question, but try to listen very carefully to the strategy we have. We're not out on a witch hunt. We're not interested in indicting people. We're not interested in indicting people. Our focus is on we're focusing in on the prize, and the prize is the Republic. We're here to save the Republic, and the people have got to step up to save the Republic. Now, all of these, if we are going to go out after people and arrest them or indict them, shall I say, for breaking the law, you know, our capital here in New York is Albany, and Albany would be a ghost town, and so would Washington, D.C. There'd be no one left to run the country because every single one of them are guilty. The judges are nothing but payoffs all day long. It's going on between – it's a game going on with all these lawyers. They're just raking us dry. Okay, they're criminals. This is just nothing but criminal activities all day long. So, what we want to do is we want to come in and take the country back, and we do that by taking our court back and working with anybody who will work with us. We need to let them know we're not here on a witch hunt. Do the right thing, and we're good. But we do know that a lot of these people, they're going to end up on the end of a short rope by the people at some point later on. But right now, first order of business is we've got to stabilize our country. We have to make sure that we have a place to live and a future. We have to make sure that we can protect the resources of our county. The sheriff needs to understand that in an emergency, the resources of your county belongs in your county and no place else. And when you have enough for your county and you have a surplus, well, then it flows to the counties alongside of you and so on, and then eventually to the other states. And that's how we will deal with an emergency. Now, what we're doing in New York, we're documenting. What we're doing in New York, you could know everything we've done so far just by going to our breaking news. Go to the bottom of the page and read up. You know, it's done. The last story that we put up there, or last bit of information, is on the top. All of the press releases. We also gave a copy of the bill of indictment that we put in. You can go out there and read that. It's quite long because it's got a lot of documentation in it, but the bill itself is only 2 pages. But we had to give authorities, because these people are so dumbed down, we had to give an order for them to understand that don't remove this from the files, because we're coming after you if you do, because that's a crime, and it's jail time for you. So we've got that. We've got a copy of the Quo Warranto that we wrote and we applied. I forget how many pages the Quo Warranto is. I think it's only about 7 pages, okay, but it's very clear. It's very, very decisive and precise, and so you can read that. And we will be reporting blow by blow as it goes until the news media picks it up. Every time we put something up there, we send a blast out to the news media. And it's up to them to pick it up and run with it. But really, what's going to cause this to happen is for people to get out there and tell people. This whole thing started with a grassroots movement. We stayed right down on the grassroots, and it has moved and flourished, and we have thousands of people involved. And that's what's going to take, even for the news media, first the word of mouth of the people, until the news media just cannot take it no more and they have to report. And that's what it's going to take. Again, only the people can save America. This is a people thing. In our history, the only time we've ever been able to get common law and maintain it when it was trying to be taken away from us is when the people rose up and took it back. 1215, the Magna Carta. 1776, the Declaration of Independence. 20,013 common law grand juries. And we have this opportunity not only to return to our founding, the dreams of our founding fathers, but we have this opportunity to do it with a hindsight, to do it even a little better, because we have the experience of going astray and now coming back. So again, it's up to the people. If the people on this call understand this and get out onto our website and start to get involved and start to create grand juries in their counties, start to connect with the other people in their counties next door and the states next door to them and work together on a national level and a local level, then we could do it. But it's up to you to do it.
I sent you a friend request on Facebook.
Okay. I'll get out there. I don't get out there too often, but I'll get out there and acknowledge it, and I appreciate it. And, you know, when all my communications is, you know, I ask people not to really call me unless they have to, but my phone number's available. We get together every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a conference every Monday night. And in that conference, we usually give out the latest details, the latest releases, the latest moves, the next thing we've done, and so on. We're at a point now we're not revealing our next step. But we will reveal that step as soon as we take it, only because it's obvious why we don't want to reveal. We don't want to let them know what we're going to do. We have lots of options, and we're choosing them very carefully and trying to do it in an orderly fashion. But we reveal those things every Monday night. We're there for questions and answers. People will ask questions, and we give the answers, and we discuss things. So that's how you become educated. It starts there. And then, you know, our website is extremely rich. You could be out there for 10 years and still not read through all the stuff and look through all the stuff we have out there. And we have a lot more to add up there. And we're recreating, rebuilding right now as we speak, another website, a very sophisticated website. And that hopefully will be up in the next few weeks. We're planning on having some funding next week, which will allow us to accomplish that that goal.
You mentioned something about the militias.
Yes.
And, you know, my question is you know, how do they, because our call is probably about 95% male.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they go to find a good organization? Because I think there's...
Look it. Right now, the proxy to that is really the Oath Keepers, so everybody should join the Oath Keepers, whether you're a veteran or a cop or anything, it doesn't matter. Anybody can join the Oath Keepers. Now, so that's where it begins. But you need to look into your state to see if you have an active militia that's been going on. I think it's South Carolina has a militia in every county. And that's been organized and going for a long time, and that's what we need to get back to. I think for the states who don't have one, it might be wise in the beginning, you know, first of all, first order of business is to secure our home, and you can only secure your home is by taking control of the common law courts, you know, taking control of the courts to bring them back to common law, and then taking control of your sheriff. So once you've accomplished that, now you can have the sheriff take over the militia, at least during these times, these very serious times where they call everybody a terrorist, you know. So they've called the FBI on us numerous times. And every time the FBI left, we've had good results with them. They understood that these people are just trying to get rid of us. They're not happy with us trying to come in to take our authority back. But in any event, I think it's wise for a state that does not have a militia set up, once you take your courts back, have the sheriff of your county run the militia and organize it. Make it part of his job temporarily. Okay, and then once we get past this time and we're very well organized and the state is stabilized, now the people can take it back and take control. You can still work with your sheriff because the militia can let the sheriff know, just like the grand jury will, hey, you got a problem on the border with any of these alphabet soup, agencies, and you need some assistance, give us a call. We'll send you as many people as you need because that's the way it's supposed to be. The people, we will defend our country. My country is New York, and your country is whatever state you come from. But we are United States. And the unique thing about that is I can go to Jersey tomorrow morning and call myself a New Jerseyan, and I can go into their courts and utilize their court systems. I can change my address. I got all the rights of anybody from New Jersey immediately the moment I cross that border, even if I'm just passing through it. And that's what makes us so unique as a nation. But your country is the state you live in. That's where your domicile is. And that's your country. The people have to get up and take control of this. The people have got to get up and defend it. The people have got to get up and control these out-of-control maniacs and get these people out of office. Only the people can do this.
I'm looking at your website right now, and you've got all the states are listed there. I clicked on the organizer link, and a lot of the people on our call here are leaders, so I'm sure you're going to get plenty of registrants out of our call tonight. But what's the difference between just signing up to be a jurist versus the organizer? Is there, like, some time?
Well, everybody's a potential jurist. Right now, when we write letters or communicate in any way, we identify ourselves as administrators. At the top of the page, it might be, New York Grand New York Dutchess County Grand Jury, okay? And that would be what identifies us on the paper, but the signature would be, it would have the title administrator, the administrator of the grand jury. Now, when you come together as a grand jury, or at that point, now when you sign a piece of paper, it's usually the foreman would do it. You'd be the foreman of the jury. During that process, you would be a grand jurist. If you're in the investigative mode, by the authority of the grand jury, you've come together and now you're in an investigative mode, you're a grand jurist at that moment when you walk into an agency office. Otherwise, you walk in there as an administrator to the grand jury with the authority and the power of the grand jury anyway. But everybody that signs up, whether they're organizer or not, they are a potential jurist. And like I said before, four people will rise to the top in every county in order to administrate the whole process. They will be the people who will orientate all the new people coming in, giving them the proper mindset and understanding of what a jurist needs to be operating under. They're the ones that would be going out to do all the investigating. They're the ones that would be making the phone calls and taking care of all the administrative processes like paperwork and so on. And often they will be also sitting on the grand jury most of the time. And if at all possible, when you pull a grand jury together, and let's say the four administrators are sitting on that grand jury, sometimes they may make the decision not to, but they can. And you see someone that's very possibly can be the maybe a very well organized individual that's responding well to the principles you're giving them. And they could be the foreman. You make them the foreman. Those four individuals shouldn't be the foreman all the time because that's controlling the whole process. We have people who have signed up that didn't want their name out there for one reason or another, but they want to be involved and they're out there working, and they are working and spreading the word and helping. We have people that sign up and they become organizers or they don't become organizers, but they want to be involved in everything as much as possible, but they're business people or they got a good job that they're working and they can't leave the job, but they'd like to know what's going on, and whenever they can help out, they want to be there, and that's sort of on a volunteer level. But there are four individuals for every county that will be paid for this process, and these people have to be people who are dedicated, have to be people who are willing to be educated in the common law procedures and the processes, and that's the job of what we at National Liberty Alliance is doing. We're educating people. We're empowering people, and it is a bottom-up control. National Liberty Alliance, as soon as we're completely organized throughout the country, we will have 50 administrators for that website, one from every state. And every state will have their own area where they'll have their own bulletin boards, and we'll have a national meeting room, which will be, you know, a text area, text meeting. And we'll always have our Monday night meetings for updates. We're going to have lots of blogs that will come in to do writing. People will, you know, that have the ability to write and want to do blogs on the grand jury stories and justice and what's going on. And we'll give them places on our website to write these blogs concerning justice in America and what's going on, what's really going on in the political processes. You know, we have a lot of things we're putting together. It's a lot to digest in one, you know, conference call. But over time, you know, these are not complex things. They're really simple things. You know, you just need to spend some time around it and start to developing the mindset of justice and working this process to save our nation.
Now, I don't remember how long ago it was. It seems like it was maybe 2012. There was a group out of Ocala, Florida, and they were called the Citizens Grand Jury, and they had indicted Obama and Biden for some things. And, you know, when you go look it up on places like Snopes, which I believe is a government-run deal anyway, because you never find anything wrong with Obama, but it says the Citizens Grand Jury is a non-actionable, non-governmental organization that has no legal authority to enforce its indictment.
through prosecution or trial. So, you know, they downplay this big time. When
well, first of all, that was insane for someone, one county in one state, going out to indict the President of the United States in an environment that we have with the New World Order behind this whole thing. You know, that's it's almost a joke. If you want to indict the President for something, let's get 3,141 grand juries for 3,141 counties, and we will indict the President, and it will stick. But look, that's not what we're about. The whatever's going on in Washington, I don't want to get into the politics or the storytelling or what my perception of things are. That's irrelevant. Whatever's going on there in Washington will be brought to justice, and it'll end up between 26 people. Well, actually, in that case, whatever's going on in Washington may end up with 50 people, at least one for each state, in a room sitting together to decide who they're going to indict and why they're going to indict them. And then it's going to end up with 12 people in a jury box, and they're going to figure that out. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And I can live with that. And as long as those people have the principles and the rules in order to operate. And, you know, some people say to me, well, you know, what if you get drug addicts? What if you get people with political ideas? What do you know, you get the enemy, the progressives come in and they take control. Well, they can't take control. There's 25 of you. They're picked randomly to begin with, okay? But let's say you get some clown that comes in there and gives everybody a hard time. Well, each one of us signs an oath. And that oath is really saying that we will stick to the three principles, which is having a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. We will be obedient to the idea of restoring the injured party, and that's what our job is, and that's what we're going to do. Well, once someone steps outside of those boundaries, it's going to become obvious to the other 24, and they're going to say, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Wait, you took an oath. We're in here to do a job, and you've got to stick with it. And let's say they become obnoxious, and they just continue to be on their way. Very simple. The 24 can just throw the one out. If they're deep into the process, then the 24 will continue as 24. They don't need 25. I know the statutory system, I think, is 16, but that may be different in each state. We, the people, will figure out what the minimum should be. And I think 16 might be reasonable, if that's what it ends up being, if you lose people along the way. But if it's early on and you really haven't done much investigation yet, you can replace that 25th wheel with a new wheel, just call up someone else and have them come into the system. But look, this is a people thing. This is a human thing. We can't have legislators writing laws to control our behaviors and to think that we're going to be able to live some kind of a life that's free. That can't happen. This is a people thing. It's a human thing. It's got to be humans looking at humans and figuring things out and trying to figure out what is just here. You know, you can have someone that comes before the jury, and the jury can say, this guy's guilty of sin. But you know what? If I was stuck in that person's position, I probably would have done the same thing. So the jury can come out with mercy, okay? That's their decision. It's their job. It cannot be second-guessed. The Supreme Court has ruled over and over again for 200 years and has said that they is the highest court in the land is the court of record. And ultimately, they're talking about the tribunal. And they are never second-guessed. And the U.S. Supreme Court said that even they cannot second-guess the decision of a tribunal, which is the jury, okay? So whatever decision they make, that's the people's business, and it's made and it's sealed.
Excellent. We're going to give one or two people a chance to ask a question. I know there's been several throughout. Anybody have any questions for John right now?
Well, I'd like to say one other thing about the system, looking at the federal part of this thing. Are you interested in that?
Yeah, well, I did have a question. What's happening when the feds come? But, yeah, go ahead and...
Very simple. New York soil is New York soil. It doesn't belong to Washington. Federal government has no business here unless it's a constitutional reason. We, the people, when we put this nation together, and the 13 original colonies were involved, and we had the Constitution in 1789, it was understood, ultimately, that only time the state would have any interference in the people You know, any time the federal would have anything to say on the people in any state is only under constitutional issues. So if someone's unalienable rights were being violated, and within the state or by a ruling of a state, the federal government had the authority to overrule that, and we the people agreed to that. So other than that, they don't have any business on New York soil. I'll talk about New York because that's where I'm at. We in New York, I think we have 9 districts. You know, I got to look that up because this comes up often and I should know. But I think we have 9 districts. And let's say one district, it's a federal district. Let's say one of these districts encompassed 8 counties. Well, if they're going to come into those 8 counties, that district that covers those 8 counties, to try to get someone convicted of a crime that's in one of those 8 counties, well, they have to come up before the grand jury of their peerage, and that's New York citizens in one of those 8 counties, preferably. But it doesn't have to be those 8 counties; it could be any place in New York State. They got to come they have to take that before their peerage, so they have to bring it to the grand jury. So the federal government has got to use our grand jury because we're not going to permit a federal government, a federal court, to pull together a grand jury that's a puppet grand jury, because that's a wrongdoing, and we're not going to allow that to happen. So we will let that judge know the same thing, and we'll let those federal prosecutors know the same thing. You want a jury, you come to We the People in New York right here, and we'll get you a jury. And then we'll look at your case. And most of these cases that they bring in, they're bogus cases. They don't belong anywhere. And the people, they'll be educated enough to know these cases can't come in. There's not going to be any indictment. So they're going to really become a ghost town. And I think what's going to happen, at least in New York State, we're going to end up with one federal court in the whole state, because that's about as much as they should be able to handle in New York State. We don't have that many federal issues, although we do have a lot of illegal federal issues, and people go into their courts and get lost at sea. So we got to stop that. Now, if they do go into the trial, they're not going to get a puppet grand jury that's going to go along with that judge up on that bench. They're going to get a tribunal that's going to understand their authority and the power, and they're going to put that judge in his place and let him know, you don't get the rule, buddy, we do. But we will straighten that out before those juries even get to that point, because we'll be meeting with the federal judges too. But first order of business is let's deal with our counties and our state courts. Let's bring them into order. Bring our prosecutors back into reality and under our thumb, under our authority, and get our sheriffs on board to understand what their jobs really are. Sheriffs are ignorant. They really are ignorant to the Constitution. They're starting to bone up a little bit here in New York, but they're weak on it, and they're unsure. They need somebody that's going to come out with authority, like the grand jury, to say, look, here's how it works, and here's how you interpret it. And that's how we're going to get our state back. But we'll do the same thing in the federal courts, too.
Well, you've been super informative. I think you've got quite a few people fired up. I'm getting some text messages and some comments on my Facebook page. So I think you're going to have some sign-ups, and I am super appreciative of you coming out on our call tonight. And, you know, as things progress, I'd like to have you back and possibly work you in, since you do need some national media for this. I'm going to talk to my co-host on Saturday mornings. We do a Fox affiliate station and see if we can't work you in on our schedule and get you to talk on there. So does anybody, you got your last chance, anybody have any questions, comments, praises?
Randy, I have a praise. This is Charlie in Colorado.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie, can I have you on?
Well, I just got the email at 7 Mountain Standard Time, so I apologize.
No worries.
You know, but John actually covered everything eloquently, as usual. And, John, I thank you for being on Randy's show, and Randy, I thank you for having him on. With your database, Randy, I really, you know, pray that the people do sign up and understand this is a method that we could utilize right now to restore America.
I think we're all in agreement. Everybody's looking for that remedy, and if this is it, there'll be a lot more jurists.
Amen.
And kudos to Javier who canceled his Facebook page today, and then he happened to hop on the call, and I looked on your jurist list, and I saw that he is actually signed up, and that's somebody I know
Great.
Down here in South Florida.
Well, I'd like to end with a Bible verse or two, if you wouldn't mind. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, where the Lord said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You know, we have to get knowledge. You know, again, you know, Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. Okay? And the final verse I'd like to really quote is Proverbs 4, 7. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding." Get understanding. That's what we the people need to do. That's how we're going to save America. And let's save the Republic. Join us.
Yeah.
NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
Randy, I've been close, and like I said, I apologize that I did not have a heads up. But all the folks that are listening on the line tonight, all of us are hurting. We've been damaged. But Randy and John Darash are doing the good work, folks. They are leaders of the fragments, and they really are doing the good work, and they are needing donations. I mean, I think most of us can, you know, put our hand in our pocket and pull out $10. I encourage support for Randy and for John with National Liberty Alliance. So, folks, we can afford that.
Thank you very much, Charlie, and thank you to the folks that did give some questions to John. And I think it's a good place to cut it. If you wanted to say anything else, John or Charlie, before we end it, you have a moment here if you would like.
I'll let John close. Thank you, Randy.
Well,
You're
again,
welcome.
The only thing, you know, my last words suffice, but let me give you one other. This is something we put on the top of our papers here in New York, and we suggest everybody to do the same as grand jurist when you have a letterhead. And it's Psalms 89, verse 14, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." And I guess that's the best way to end the call. Thank you. I appreciate you having us.
Thank you very much, and keep fighting.
Thank you.
Our country's worth it. The people are worth it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks, Randy.
Good night, Randy.
Good night.
Your conference.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night.
All right. Well, hopefully we're going to get a big hit from that. We'll see how the numbers come in at midnight on a website. And let's see how many people we picked up. I can go out and look at those numbers on the registry if we picked up any many people. Edmund.
You know, John, I don't see all the papers we file on this site, like some of the original paperwork. I mean, you have letters from the county clerk, answer to the clerk. But you had one there with the one I took on the show that talked about Lysander Spooner and that. I don't find that anywhere on here.
All right, I'll go through everything and see. I thought I had everything up there.
No, I think you're missing some stuff. We got this memorandum, and I remember it was separated with headings, unless you change it. Like, you got conspirators supplanting in contempt of common law, and you had five or six or seven black headings.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, you mentioned all the blurb from Lysander Spooner saying that the government can't pick the jury because the selection,
Oh, yeah, I have that in the paperwork.
Yeah, where is it? I can't find it.
Well, open up the indictment. You'll find it in there and in the declaration. And because we took that that letter and formed a declaration out of it, so it's there. There also should be the letter itself.
It should say declaration on the top, right?
It does. Inside the indictment, there's a page that's called Declaration, and it's declaring, you know, all of their sins, so to speak.
Well, over here, you got answering letters from the clerk, Nassau County answer clerk, presentment, a true bill. Is that what you call in the indictment?
Yeah.
And then under that, you have the letter to the judges. So the Nassau presentment, you It says presentment, right? I just clicked on it. I'll let my stupid computer load up here. Say true bill, and then you got all the seals. You know, 4 or 5 pages of seals. And then that's it. It stops. So the only thing you have is one page. There's nothing in this. All you have here is the front page of the presentment, right?
I don't know. I'm opening it up
and
now.
Take 1 of 5.
All right. Let's see. The first page is the true bill to be filed on demand, okay? Second page is the table of contents, and it talks about the cover, the table of contents, the presentment, the true bill.
I'm not in the right one then, because that's not there. That's
all the way at the very bottom of the page.
That's letters to judges?
Where you at?
I'm telling you, I'm in juris documents. Is that not where it is?
No.
Where is it?
Go to breaking news.
Okay, so breaking news, yeah.
All the way down on the bottom. Now, I'll put it in the documents, too, when I'll get the letter form there. All the way down the bottom of
the
page, you see copy of present.
Okay, I see that, yeah.
Okay, now when you get there, you'll see it'll the table of contents says the file on demand, the table of contents, the presentment of true bill, declaration of filing. It's 7 pages. Then we got the authorities and the constituted counties and the evidence. Now, all of the letters from them should be in that evidence form. There's 26 pages. Okay, but the declaration of filing is the fourth group of things. It's 7 pages long. Let me go down and I'll tell you.
And
what
all the memorandums that the one that Prudente wrote, that's all in this document because this
yes.
is a master.
So all the way down
the
on the bottom.
Document, right?
Right. Now page 9 is where when you open the presentation, the PDF, page 9 is the declaration. Okay. You know what? Let's do this because I don't want to lose this recording. Let me disconnect. I'll call you right back so the recording gets saved.
Yeah.